Well, hi there. Welcome to a new week of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 415. I'm your host, Steve Webb. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. And we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks. Shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes. How was your weekend? Did you get some rest, or are you like me and you work more on Sunday for your church than you do on your job during the week? As for me, the day of rest is more like Monday than Sunday. I'm not complaining. I'm happy to be able to use what I've learned to serve my church. Do you serve your church? I'd love to hear what you do. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Let me know. Tell me what you do. Well, how about we get to the reading? Today we're going to read 2 Kings chapter 8 from the New Living Translation. Let's begin. 2 Kings chapter 8. Elisha had told the woman whose son he had brought back to life, "Take your family and move to some other place, for the Lord has called for a famine on Israel that will last for 7 years." So the woman did as the man of God instructed. She took her family and settled in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. After the famine ended, she returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to see the king about getting back her house and land. As she came in, the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. The king had just said, "Tell me some stories about the great things Elisha has done." And Gehazi was telling the king about the time Elisha had brought a boy back to life. At that very moment, the mother of the boy walked in to make her appeal to the king about her house and land. "Look, my lord the king," Gehazi exclaimed, "here is the woman now, and this is her son, the very one Elisha brought back to life." "Is this true?" the king asked her. And she told him the story. So he directed one of his officials to see that everything she had lost was restored to her, including the value of any crops that had been harvested during her absence. Elisha went to Damascus, the capital of Aram, where King Ben-Hadad lay sick. When someone told the king that the man of God had come, the king said to Hazael, "Take a gift to the man of God. Tell him to ask the Lord, 'Will I recover from this illness?'" So Hazael loaded down 40 camels with the finest products of Damascus as a gift for Elisha. He went to him and said, "Your servant Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, has sent me to ask, 'Will I recover from this illness?'" And Elisha replied, "Go and tell him you will surely recover. But actually, the Lord has shown me that he will surely die." Elisha stared at Hazael with a fixed gaze until Hazael became uneasy. Then the man of God started weeping. "What's the matter, my lord?" Hazael asked him. Elisha replied, "I know the terrible things you will do to the people of Israel. You will burn their fortified cities, kill their young men with the sword, dash their little children to the ground, and rip open their pregnant women." Hazael responded, "How could a nobody like me ever accomplish such great things?" Elisha answered, "The Lord has shown me that you were going to be the king of Aram." When Hazael left Elisha and went back, the king asked him, "What did Elisha tell you?" And Hazael replied, "He told me that you will surely recover." But the next day, Hazael took a blanket, soaked it in water, and held it over the king's face until he died. Then Hazael became the next king of Aram. Jehoram, son of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, began to rule over Judah in the 5th year of the reign of Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. But Jehoram followed the example of the kings of Israel and was as wicked as King Ahab, for he had married one of Ahab's daughters. So Jehoram did what was evil in the Lord's sight. But the Lord did not want to destroy Judah, for he had promised his servant David that his descendants would continue to rule, shining like a lamp forever. During Jehoram's reign, the Edomites revolted against Judah and crowned their own king. So Jehoram went with all his chariots to attack the town of Zair. The Edomites surrounded him and his chariot commanders, but he went out at night and attacked them under cover of darkness. But Jehoram's army deserted him and fled to their homes. So Edom has been independent from Judah to this day. The town of Libna also revolted about the same time. The rest of the events in Jehoram's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Jehoram died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Ahaziah became the next king. Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, began to rule over Judah in the 12th year of the reign of Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother was Athaliah, a granddaughter of King Omri of Israel. Ahaziah followed the evil example of King Ahab's family. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as Ahab's family had done, for he was related by marriage to the family of Ahab. Ahaziah joined Joram, son of Ahab, in his war against King Hazael of Aram at Ramoth-Gilead. When the Aramaeans wounded King Joram in the battle, he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds he had received at Ramoth. Because Joram was wounded, King Ahaziah of Judah went to Jezreel to visit him. May God bless the reading of His Word. Timing is everything. When circumstances line up, we often think, wow, wasn't that lucky? But of course, for those whose life is in God's hand, there is no such thing as luck. Lucky timing is really God's timing. The woman whose son was raised back to life by Elisha came back to Israel and into the king's presence at God's appointed time. Her land had been taken while she was away because of the famine, and she wanted to ask the king to see that her land was returned to her. Of course, there was no way that she just happened to show up at the exact time that Gehazi was telling the king what Elijah had done through the power of God. And then, of course, you heard how the king returned not just her land, but any proceeds that had been made from the sale of crops grown there. God's timing is perfect. Of course, He is outside of time. He knows everything before it happens, and He will often move us to be where we need to be at just the right time. I've seen Him work this way in my life many times, and I'll bet you have too. I think the key is to follow His leading. Follow His plan for your life just as closely as you can. Don't fight against the leading of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3:6 says, "Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." I believe that's true for the big picture and for the details of our lives. Luke 12:7 says, "And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows." Well, since that's true, why would it be surprising that He gets involved in the timing of events? Your thoughts? If you'd like to leave a comment, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 415.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at @SteveWebb_. Hey, tell a friend about the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, okay? And remember to go to support.lifespringmedia.com. Remember, value for value. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.